We've had so many recent deaths, some church-related, some family-related, some of my personal friends have passed away. And over the many, many years I've been a pastor, I've conducted hundreds, just say hundreds of funerals. And these things get on your mind as a pastor. And sometimes they won't leave. And I think it's probably because partly that reason that's been such recent, you know, tragedies and deaths, that God's led me to a passage that I want to share with us today. You don't hear in the New Testament, but just a very few selected places where Jesus ever preached a funeral sermon. But I want to share with you today one of Jesus' funeral sermons that I'm entitling Life from Death. Look over with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 25 and 6. This is a very familiar passage. I know that you've all heard it preached from. I've preached from it many times and hopefully will again. But this is a passage of where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany, Lazarus got sick and Lazarus passed away. And Jesus was sent for, and Jesus tarried his coming for a few days, and then Jesus comes. And now Lazarus has been dead 4 days. So we're looking at a funeral service here. And so listen to what Jesus says to the sisters, Mary and Martha, in John 11, verse 25 and 6. As he's arrived now to the graveside, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, don't you? Indeed I do. Now, this raising of Lazarus from the dead here is only one of three occasions. If you'll glean your New Testament, you'll find only three times that's recorded. There might have been more, but all that's recorded in the New Testament is three occasions when Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Of course, the one we're looking at today, raising of Lazarus from the dead, this is one occasion. Then there was another occasion we just studied last Sunday in Sunday school. If you weren't here, you missed a blessing. It was when Jesus went to the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and his 12-year-old daughter had actually died. She was gravely ill. So Jairus came to Jesus, and Jesus comes to the home, and they said, well, there's no need to call Jesus now. She's already dead. Well, Jesus goes to the home, and he puts everybody outside but the mom and the dad. He goes in, and he prays, and he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's the second occasion you find of a raising of a person in the New Testament. There was only one other occasion. It was from the widow of Nain. Her son had died, and in fact, they were carrying him to the graveside to bury him. And Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus raises this widow's son from the dead. So only three occasions in all the New Testament you find where Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Now, I guess if you had to pick the closest thing to a funeral sermon that Jesus ever preached, in my opinion, John chapter 11 would be the passage to find. It always amazes me when I think about Jesus raising somebody from the dead. As Jesus goes to those families and goes to those funeral services, Jesus always just breaks them up. Because you see, Jesus doesn't talk so much about death. When he goes to a funeral, he talks more about life. Now, in this particular passage here, he's going to speak about three dimensions of life. I'll get to those in just a moment. But just think for a moment about life. Think about how complex, how really amazing life really is. Now, our so-called wise biochemist today can engineer, is a good word, I guess you could say. They can engineer in the laboratory an artificial protein. And protein is the building block of life. But I'll promise you one thing, they may engineer some sort of artificial protein, but they'll never make life. They'll never make something out of nothing. So when biochemists say, well, life's nothing more than just chemistry, oh no, listen, they grossly misunderstand and they grossly misrepresent the complexity of even the smallest form of life. The Bible tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made, doesn't it? So, Jesus speaks about life here in three dimensions. I want to share those with you as Jesus shares them here with Mary and Martha at the funeral service, or at the funeral side of Lazarus, their brother. He talks about life in the resurrection. He talks about life in the spiritual. And he talks about life in the eternal. I want to look at those three dimensions of life that Jesus talks about here, where life comes forth from death. Now, Lazarus wasn't truly resurrected. I hope you understand that. If you don't, let me help us understand it. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He was not resurrected. Now, why do you say that, preacher? I'll tell you why. A true resurrection involves a raised body, of course, but it's a glorified body that will never taste death, never die again. That was not the kind of resurrection that Lazarus got here. He was just restored to life. Lazarus did live again, to be sure, but Lazarus also died again. So he didn't get a resurrection, he got a restoration. But Jesus talks here about a resurrection. Do you know there's only ever been one true resurrection until this very moment? Jesus is the only person who's ever been truly resurrected from the dead. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, resurrected, he had a glorified body, and Jesus Christ will never taste death again. That's a true resurrection. And there's only been one. The Bible says of Jesus that he is the first fruit of the resurrection. So up to now, only been one resurrection, but there will be many, many more when the rapture of the church takes place. We do know that. Well, Jesus talks to the sisters, and he says to them, to Mary and Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. What did he mean by that? I'm the resurrection and the life. If he just restored Lazarus to life again, who later on we know did die again, and he says, I'm the resurrection, what did he mean by those words that he spoke to the sisters? Well, they believed already that Lazarus would be resurrected at the last day. They already believed that. So what was Jesus talking about here when he said, I am the resurrection and the life? He meant there's going to be a day to come. Listen to me. There's a day going to come when the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. That's the true resurrection. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. I don't know about you. When I think about the true resurrection, that excites me. I know that probably, unless the Lord comes immediately, I'm going to die physically. And so is everyone in this building. If Jesus doesn't come, you're going to meet the appointment of physical death at some time in your life, the appointment that God has set for you, because it is appointed once unto man to die, and after that, then the judgment. So I know, if Jesus doesn't come, I'm going to die physically. But I also know when Jesus comes again, the clouds of glory, if I'm dead, I'll be raised first and get that glorified, resurrected body that will never die again, never taste any sickness, sorrow, pain, death, separation. All these former things that are going on down here today, which it will have been and shall have been, passed away. We know that. Well, Jesus said, I'm coming for you. What a hallelujah day that's going to be when our Lord comes in the clouds of glory and takes us home to be with Him. Well, Jesus here is speaking of life after death and the resurrection of the true body, the perfect body, the personal body. Well, the great reality of this true resurrection is this. The dead in Christ shall be raised. For they're the first to be raised in the resurrection. Jesus is trying to get that point across to Mary and Martha. Now, they understood. He talked about a resurrection life. There's an old song that we sing sometimes. When Jesus comes for us, what a day that will be. Amen. When my Jesus I shall see. Amen. When I see Him face to face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day that's going to be. That's the kind of life Jesus talked about at a funeral. Not death, but life, the resurrection life. And then Jesus talked about another dimension of life here that we know as the spiritual life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, we do understand, don't we, that before you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, before you're born again, before you're saved by the grace of God, every single one of us is dead in sin and trespasses. We have a spiritual death upon us until the day comes that you repent of your sins and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we know before we come to be saved that we're all dead in sin and trespasses. You pass from spiritual death to spiritual life when you give your life to the Lord Jesus. At the conversion experience, when you're saved by the grace of God, that's when the spiritual life began. Now listen, with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they'd already had the spiritual life. It already begun in their lives because all of them were just precious friends of Jesus. They had Jesus into their home. He ate meals in their home. He fellowshiped with them. All three of them had already trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So they already had the spiritual life on an ongoing basis in their life. Even before Lazarus died, he had the spiritual life. But when the Lord Jesus restored him back to physical life again, he just continued on with the spiritual life that he had before he died. How do you know that, preacher? Well, let me tell you how I know it. At another occasion in the New Testament, after Lazarus had been restored, he was such a spiritual witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that they sought about, the Bible says, to kill Lazarus just like they did Jesus to shut him up. So you see, he'd already had spiritual life before he died, but he just continued on with his spiritual life after he was restored again from the dead. Now, he asked the sisters, do you believe this? You believe I'm the resurrection and the life, the resurrection life, the spiritual life? And of course they believed it. They quickly agreed. They knew Lazarus would be restored and would be resurrected at the last day. They all three had the spiritual life. They all three looked forward to the resurrection life that was to come one day. Let me ask you something. Do you believe in the resurrected life? Amen. Do you believe in the spiritual life? Amen. Now here's the question. Do you have the spiritual life going on in your life right now? If not, why not? If not, would you want the spiritual life in your life as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had it in their life? Well, you can obtain it just like they did. We have to repent of our sins and ask the Lord Jesus to save us and come into our heart, be our Lord, be our Master, receive Him, and at that conversion point, you begin the spiritual life. We've got a little sticker on our fridge at home. It says, life begins at the cross. Indeed it does. When you die to yourself and come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ at conversion, that's when your life really begins. Well, Jesus spoke in three dimensions, I said, in this passage. He spoke about the resurrection life. He spoke about the spiritual life. But He also spoke here about eternal life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now listen, in one realm, Every person has an eternal life. But it's in two different dimensions. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus, as they pass this life, they go out into eternity. Every soul that Jesus ever created lives on forever and forever and forever somewhere. Only one of two places you can spend eternity. Those who know the Lord spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ in great glory forever. And those who pass this life and do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, they also go into eternity, but they go into a realm of being separated from God in a place called hell, hellfire, and there they spend eternity, eternally separated from God. So you see, we all have an eternal life. Well, what in the world was Jesus talking about here when he told them, "Do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that one who dies believing in me is going to live again?" He actually said, "He shall never die." So he talks about eternal life here. What kind of life then is Jesus talking about when he talks about eternal life here? That's a life that goes beyond the resurrected life. That's a life that goes on beyond the spiritual life. That's a life that goes on when the rapture takes place and you go into eternity and you live with Jesus forever and forever and forever. This life is reserved only for those who have been born again. No wonder Jesus told Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you'll never see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven." It's imperative. It's essential. It's vital. It's extremely important that we all understand that we must be born again to ever experience the eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and ever. He looked Mary and Martha, mainly here Martha, looked to her and said this, "Martha, do you believe that the one who believes in me, though he dies, he will live again?" Now she quickly agreed there in verse 20. "Oh yes, Jesus, I believe Lazarus is going to be resurrected one day. I believe he's going to live again." Jesus said, "Listen to me, Martha, you don't get it. You don't quite understand. I said, he that believes in me shall never die." Amen. Now what did he mean? Did he mean they'll never physically die? Well, you know he didn't mean that, because Lazarus had already died. You know that we're going to die. You know we're appointed a man once to die. What then did he mean if he said, "He that believeth in me shall never die"? He meant they'll never die spiritually. They'll never be eternally separated from God the Father in hell forever and forever and forever. You don't die. I don't die. Lazarus didn't die. Just his old body caved into death. Your body, my body, all our bodies are going to die. We're dying every day that we live. But those of us who know the Lord have spiritual life, and in that life, you will never die. You'll just change locations of where you are. My preaching professor used to say, if you hear somebody say that I died, he said, "Don't you believe it." He said, "I'm not going to die." He said, "I'm going to be more alive after my physical death than I've ever been before." And I agree with that. Yes. We're not going to die. We're just going to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes back to sort of this, like this old statement that I read somewhere years ago. It said this: those who are born only once, talking about the physical birth, those who are only born once die twice. What's that mean? It means if you're only physically born and you're never spiritually born, you're going to die physically, you know that, and you're also going to die spiritually. That's twice. Those who are only born once die twice. But on the other hand, those who have been born twice only die once. That's the reverse of that. You're born physically. We're all here that proves that. If you're born spiritually, that's another birth. That's a new birth, we call it. So if you're born physically and you're born spiritually, then you only die once. That's a physical death. But you'll live on forever and forever and forever. Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe in me? And Martha, of course, said, yes, Lord. Listen, in reality, in true reality, there is life in three realms. There's resurrected life, there's a spiritual life, and there's eternal life. Only those of us who know the Lord will experience that kind of life in those three realms. Other people who never get saved will experience life in just two forms: physical death or physical birth, and then spiritual death. That's the only two phases of life they'll ever know. So, when the rapture comes, when the Lord comes to take us home, that spiritual life just continues on in a glorified state forever and forever and forever. So my question in coming to conclusion is this: have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? That's the most important question I could ever ask anybody. Have you trusted Christ? Are you truly born again? Have you truly received the spiritual life that only comes at conversion when Jesus Christ comes into your heart? If you haven't, let me ask you another question. Why haven't you? What's stopping you? What's holding you back? Why are you stalling? Jesus Himself said, today is a day of salvation. Amen. Now is the accepted time. Amen. What do you mean by that? Today's the day. Now's the time. If you've never passed from death unto life, now's the time. Today's the day. Now's the moment to pass from spiritual death to spiritual life, to a resurrected life, to an eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus was never morbid at funerals. I've been to funerals over the many years, and many of you have too. Jim, I know you have, and others too. I've heard preachers stand up and just preach the most morbid sermon you've ever heard in your life. Just jerk people's emotions almost to the very end to shred them. But listen, Jesus didn't do that. He talked about life. That's why when you hear me preach funerals, you'll hear me preach about life. Good heritage, good place to go, good life to live. There's life that comes from death. And listen, it only comes in saving faith by the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. I wouldn't want any person in this sanctuary to walk out the doors today not assured, not knowing, or even knowing that you don't have that kind of life, that resurrected life that's so wonderful, that spiritual life that God gives us to live for Him every day till I meet Him face to face. And then that wonderful eternal life that the Bible says, you can't describe it. You can't even imagine it. Eyes not seen it. Ears not heard it. It's not entered into your heart or your mind. What wonderful things the Lord has prepared for those of us who love Him. Now, Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved Him. They loved Him dearly. They were some of the best friends Jesus ever had on this earth. But there only comes life through death. Death to self. When self gets on the cross and Jesus gets on the throne of your life, then those three dimensions of life are yours surely. And they're secured for us through all that Jesus did on the cross. And He offers those three dimensions of life to every single one of us. I'm so thankful He helped me to understand that I needed spiritual life. And many years ago, I bowed my knee and I bowed my life. I asked Jesus into my heart. And listen, I've never been the same since. Amen. Maybe you think I'm a fanatic. That's okay. I'll be a fool for Jesus anytime. Amen? Amen. So today, now's the day, now's the time. This is accepted time to come to Him. Maybe you say, well, I know Him, preacher. I know I'm saved. I know I have this life you've talked about. How are we living it? How are we living that spiritual life? Surely every single one of us has room for improvement, don't we? I've never lived a perfect spiritual life. Have you? Don't you say yes. See, you'll be lied right there, and then you'll be in trouble. But I could always do more. I could always do better, couldn't you? Couldn't we all? Couldn't our church do better? Surely we can. God's given us a brand new year to begin that. Let's take advantage of it. Now for the invitation. If you don't know Him, if you've never been born again, the invitation surely to you, first of all. And then to we who do know the Lord, that He can help us live a better spiritual life in the days to come than in the days which have passed. Let's stand together. Brother Chris is going to come secure an invitation for us. And as we prepare to sing, if God's spoken to your heart about a need in your life, then why don't you prepare as the first note of that music's played or the first word of that hymn is sung. Let the Spirit of God move you to come to Jesus, and He'll meet that need in your life.